morning, and you can hear me, right? Am I loud enough? Okay. This morning, I'm going to talk about Thanksgiving. That's coming Thursday, and we're going to, you know, everybody's got something that they got planned that they're going to do. Thanksgiving is just one of those days, but I want to take a little different spin on this. As a matter of fact, I was kind of working through some things, preparing for this week, and I just the passage itself kind of spoke to me in a way that I thought was different. So if you would, take your Bibles, and if you're using a pew Bible, which I've got right here, you need to turn to page 968. Okay, if you want to, or you can follow on the wall. Now, if you're using your phone, it's not page 968, you're on your own. But if you're using a Bible or the wall, it's 968. I've entitled this morning's message, God Loves a Cheerful Giver. And I know that when you use a title like that, the first thing people think of, oh my goodness, he's going to talk on tithing. No. Okay? But God does love a cheerful giver. And what we need to realize is that we need to, the idea here is give thanks to him for his love. And so I want to talk about that. So if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to read verses 6 through 15. And so let's take our Bibles or whatever. Let's all stand and I will read. I know sometimes, you know, I've thought about this before, the idea of I read and you follow along. And the problem with that is we're never on the same pace. Okay. And so I'll read. You follow along up here. You don't have to read out loud. Just listen and follow. Okay, so the cheerful giver. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increasing the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to produce to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Excuse me, I lost my place there. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Heavenly Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you would bless this word, that it would go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit. Anoint this word, Father, I pray. And in Jesus' name I ask, let your will be done in our hearts and our lives. Let us truly be thankful, Lord, for who you are and for what it means to be a child of yours and to serve you. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior. Amen. You may be seated. So as I said, this week, we're coming up on Thanksgiving. This Thursday is that day that has been set aside for each of us to reflect on all that we are thankful for. Now, many of us, and again, I'm not asking for a show of hands or comments. When I say things, you know, I'm just kind of saying them to kind of bring us all up to speed. And so please, you know, just hold your thoughts. But how many of us here, if you think about it, at one point in time in our life have sat down around the Thanksgiving table with friends and family and been said, and the statement's been made, before we can eat, everybody has to say one thing you're thankful for, right? Some of us, maybe most of us, if not all of us, have had that experience at least once, if not more times in our life. And there's really nothing wrong with that except for the fact that you're caught off guard and you got to take the time to think, what am I thankful for? Okay? And if you're at the last one, you say, I'm thankful this is over, let's eat. No? Maybe, who knows? But the point is we do set this time aside, we set a time aside to reflect. It's a time of celebration in which family and friends gather together to share a meal and fellowship. And so we do fellowship with one another, and it's great. I mean, this week, you know, we've got family all gathering together. And we don't have to cook the turkey, which is, I am thankful for that. Somebody else has taken that responsibility. And If I have my way, Cracker Barrel will bake my pecan pie for me, and I'll pick that up, and I'll be a happy camper. Granted, I don't need it, but you know what? It's Thanksgiving. And as I was preparing this message and looking at this passage and thinking about what Thanksgiving is all about, I looked at the word that Paul uses here for Thanksgiving. And the Greek word that he uses is Eucharistia, which means to express gratitude for benefits or blessings. Think about that for a minute. Eucharistia, the Greek word, to express gratitude for what? For benefits or blessings. And when we're thankful, isn't that what we're doing? We're thanking God for the benefits that he's given us, for the blessings that he's placed upon us, whether it's family or work or friends or whatever. The next slide here has Philippians 4:6 on it, which Paul tells us in Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So Paul here again says, be thankful. Express your gratitude for the benefits and thanksgiving that be made known to God, that God has made to you. And he says how to do this. We do this in everything. You know, that's the thing about being thankful. Okay? We are only thankful for those positive things in our life, which is great. We should be. And yet, shouldn't we just be thankful for life itself? Shouldn't we just be thankful for the fact that God has blessed us? Again, the idea here, okay, make your requests known to God. Why? Because he's the one who gives us everything. He gives us the very breath of life. Okay? We sang songs this morning about how great the Lord is, right? And how we're forgiven. And all of these things. And all of these things are true blessings for which we should be thankful and show gratitude to our Lord for. With that in mind, the Apostle Paul reminds us that true thanksgiving rests in our relationship with God. When we talk about being thankful, yes, we have things that we're thankful for, friends, family, job, health, whatever. And yet all of it is a gift from God. And so the focus of our thanksgiving really should be for God. And, of course, when we do the thing around the table, you know, especially when there's believers, we're gathered together as believers, many would say, I'm thankful for my salvation, which we should be thankful for. We should also be thankful for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave everything for us, so that we could experience the salvation that we experience and be thankful for. There's just so many things in our life, and although we might be thankful for people in our lives, our health, our jobs, our possessions, we must remember that everything we have comes from our Heavenly Father. And it's not the world who gives these things to us. It's God. And so the focus of our thanksgiving needs to be God. And as we move into this week and consider this, and really as we move into a time of communion as well, I want us to focus on how thankful we are to our Heavenly Father. So there are three things that I think we need to understand about thankfulness. The first of these things is that it will bring contentment. You see, Paul tells us this here in verses 8 through 10. Let me go back there real quick. When he says, wrong page. Okay. Where is it? There it is. I can't see. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. So the idea is it is God who makes his grace abound to us. So if we talk about being thankful, when we're thankful to God, we must find contentment because it is God who's giving it to us. You see, it's God who creates the grace of giving within us. Not only does he give, but it is by his grace that we give. We consider this idea of generosity. Some people are just so generous, and some people maybe are less generous or whatever. But what is it in us that makes us generous? What is it in us that causes us or allows us to give? And what it is the fact that God creates this grace of giving that is within inside each and every one of us. So through God's grace, we learn to be content. I can be content in all things because it is God in whom I find my contentment. It's not me. It's not the world. It's God working in me. So if you think about this, you know, it's like when we're going to move in, we move from Thanksgiving, we move into Christmas. Let's not rush it. Okay, I know we've 6 less days this year. They keep telling us that, okay? And so you got to, what, buy things faster? I don't know. It just means that's fewer online shopping days. I don't know. But think for a moment about in your life, at that time when you really spent a lot of time trying to find that one special gift for someone and the joy that they had when you gave it to them and how you felt, not because you received, but because you gave. All right? Now, where does that come from? It comes from God. You know, we live in a very selfish world, and in all honesty, for the most part, we are all still very selfish people because we deal with the sin in our lives. So, as selfish people who find contentment in giving, that can only come from one place, and that's from God. You see, true contentedness does not come naturally, but it rests in the grace of God. It's God who gives it to us. It's when you feel that sense of contentment, when you feel that I've done, I feel this joy about, realize it's not yours, it's God, working in you. And I thought about this as in the process of this, and I thought to myself, wow, wait a minute. The greatest gift ever given was Jesus Christ on the cross. It was an extension of the grace of God in our lives to receive salvation. And it's hard for me to imagine that the Heavenly Father who gave His Son, whose Son died for us, found contentment in what He did. We seem to get this image of God being saddened and angry by the sacrifice of His Son. And yet at the same time, I believe there's a sense of contentment we need to understand, because now God, in what He's done, with the Father and what He's done, has now restored us back into a relationship with Him. It's His grace. He didn't have to learn to be content, but we can learn from Him. So this idea of contentment. The second thing we see is that it will bring thanksgiving. Verses 11 through 13. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God by their approval of this service. They will glorify God because of your submission that comes from the confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. You see, and Ken, what you shared this morning about what the lady said yesterday is exactly what we're talking about here. Okay? This idea of giving brings thanksgiving to God because we're not doing it expecting anything in return. You see, the idea for us here is we thank God for what we all have, okay, for what we have received from Him. And we have received, and we're blessed by that, and we give that blessing to others. But the other part of this is that others thank God for what they've received from us. Those that don't know the Lord can still be blessed by the Lord through us. And what that means is, as we bless others, as the Lord leads us, we do so without seeking to benefit ourselves. Because our blessing doesn't come from what we can get back from them. It's already been given to us by God. And we live in a world where people give expecting something in return. So our thanksgiving in that situation is not from God. It's from others. And if we feel we don't receive back adequately from what we give, we're disappointed. And if we're disappointed, there's no thanksgiving. There's no gratitude. And yet our gratitude does not rest. When we give to others, the joy and gratitude we receive doesn't come from them. It comes from God. God blesses us. We bless others. Now realize this. In the process, and what I'm saying here is others thank God for what we're doing for them. Because we're being led by God. The joy is not ours to receive. It's our Father's. And we receive. They give back, and understand here, it doesn't mean that they're going to necessarily come to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, but when they ask, well, where is the source of what you're doing here? We say, well, you know, we got blessed here, and we got this. No, it's our Heavenly Father. It's what God does. He works through us. You see, giving to others is our way of giving an offering of thanksgiving to God. As God blesses us, we bless others. And this can come in a variety of ways. Like I said, this isn't a message on, on, you know, giving or tithing or missions or anything. What I'm saying here is that we, God has blessed us, and we in turn should bless others. Now, as I was doing some research and I was reading this week, a lot of the commentators do make this comment of the fact that we choose not to do that because we think, well, if I give, then I won't have. But then their response is, but wait a minute. Where did you get it in the first place? If it comes from God, and God wants you to give it back, isn't He going to replenish what He's given you? There's the old saying, of course, you know, we usually kind of pray this during big offerings, is you can never outgive God. But it is a true statement. And if we say, I can't do this because, then what we're saying is, God, I'm limiting what you can do in my life. Instead of saying, God, I'm so thankful for this, I'm going to go ahead and give back. Not because I'm expecting to receive from you. This isn't one of those kind of messages. But because I'm thankful for what I've already received from you. You see, this is very significant for us to understand the idea of thanksgiving here. We thank God for what He's given us, and others thank God for what we have done, what He has done through us to give to them. When I say this, that what they've received from us, it's still receiving it from God because it's God's to begin with. It's how we give it. It's the heart behind it, and it's a God heart, not a selfish heart. And then, of course, the third thing we see here is that it will bring prayer. Verse 14 says, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God. Now, what I want you to realize here is God leads those whom we bless to bless us in prayer. You say, well, not everybody prays for us. You know what? A prayer as simple as, you know, this organization came out and they gave out these two dinners. You know, I don't know who they are. I don't know what's behind it, but God, I thank you for what you've done. Or just, you know, we don't know how the world wants to pray it out. That's not our call. But a prayer of thanksgiving can be a word of thanksgiving that God hears and acknowledges and says, well done, good, faithful servant. You have done this. You have blessed them, and they have thanked you. And by thanking you, they're thanking me. We have this idea that we have to, there are certain rules or regulations or rituals that have to be followed for everything to be understood within the kingdom dynamic, and that's not the case. The case is God hears every word of thanks as it is given, and God leads them to be thankful, and of course God extends His grace to us when we give to others. So as we are thanked and God hears those words of thanksgiving, His grace is extended to us to lead us to receive the grace, and you know what else? To be led to bless others. It doesn't stop here. It doesn't stop with that one moment. It continues on. It is through our own prayers and the prayers of others that we find true thanksgiving. You know, there have been times in our life, and many of you probably have gone through the same experience, where you just felt like you had nothing. I mean, you know, there were times when we were younger, a young married couple, we had, you know, a couple children or all three or whatever, and financially things were tough and everything else. But, you know, God continued. We stayed faithful to God as best we thought we should, doing what we believe God wanted us to do. When I make that statement, I'm not trying to say good works. We felt this is what God wanted. This is what we're going to do. We're going to remain faithful. And we were blessed. And how do I measure those blessings? I can't measure those blessings because they're too numerous. And they never come in the same form. But in everything that we were blessed, we were thankful. Not because of anything we've done, not because of our own personal righteousness or piety or church attendance, but because God is God, and we understood that. And some of you right now know exactly what I'm talking about. You've seen God's hand at work in your life, and you've said, well, God, I've only got $20, and He says, well, give 10 of it over there, and you give 10 of it over there, and all of a sudden God is taking care of me. We were living in Florida, and we were going to Bible college. And I could be wrong on this event, how it played out, but I'm going to share it this way. And you can double check with the one who remembers how these things all happened, because it's not me. But we needed $50 for some type of a utility bill or something like that. And we walked in the apartment, and somebody had slid an envelope with $50 under the door. a $50 bill. Or it could have been 2 20s and 10. I don't know. It's 50 bucks. Now, that's how God works. And the person that did it, we never knew who it was, I don't believe. But they were still thanked for what they did, and God heard that because of their faithfulness. I'm not trying to create some type of a law of reciprocity here where if you do certain things, God will bless you with certain things. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you do it and you don't care how you are blessed in return, knowing that God is the one who sees and hears all things. That's who we are not here to be. We are here first and foremost, I should say, to be thankful to our Heavenly Father for who He is and what He's done in our lives, and then allow ourselves to walk in obedience in Him to others. This morning, as I've talked about this idea of thanksgiving, as I previously noted, the Greek word translated thanksgiving is Eucharistia. Now, this is from this we get the word Eucharist. Now, some of you are staunch, traditional, mainline, denomination, old church people, and you know what the Eucharist is, right? Well, the word Eucharist in most contemporary Protestant churches is not used. Instead, unlike the Catholics and the old line Protestants, we like to refer to it as communion. Okay, the Eucharist is communion. And of course, it's part, or the Lord's Supper, it's part of our worship. And as I consider this event, this idea here of the Eucharist, which we readily refer to as communion, I began to ponder its meaning for me. And this is where I think I really want to go this morning as we close with this idea of thanksgiving. Consider the words on the front of this table, and I've got to make sure that I have them right up here. I know they're up here, but I want to make sure I don't add any. This do in remembrance of me. This do in remembrance of me. Okay? This came out of the Reformation and the discussion and the debate over what happens at the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist. And in the process of this, of in remembrance of me, which comes from Luke 22:19, in the process of this, what ended up happening was they saw it as an event, not like the Catholics viewed it as transubstantiation, where when you pray over this, the bread becomes the literal body and the wine becomes the literal blood of Jesus Christ, and you're partaking of the body and the blood of Christ. The idea was it's an event in which Jesus says, when you do this, remember me. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay? Except for the fact, and this is the question, is what we take part in a mere event, which serves as part of our liturgy, or is an event worthy of thanksgiving and rejoicing? Because it begins here. Jesus says, do this, and I've talked about the fact that we rejoice in God. We are thankful for what God has done. We are thankful for what His Son has done for us. This becomes a reminder, a continual reminder to us of our thankfulness. That's why I like that word Eucharist translated thanksgiving. What we have here, in all intents and purposes, is Thanksgiving dinner. Think about that. Are you thankful? Or does this become another ritualistic event that we do once a month? Because if that's all it is, we're missing the significance of what we're about to partake in. So I did a little research. I went back, way back, to the Didache. D-I-D-A-C-H-E. The Didache is probably one of the first non-biblical doctrines of the church. Documents of the church. It dates from the late 1st to early 2nd century and provides some of the earliest descriptions of specific formulas for baptism, Eucharist, prayer, and fasting. And in the Didache, it states these points. Now concerning the Eucharist, give thanks as follows. First, concerning the cup, we give you thanks, our Father, for the whole vine of David your servant, which you have made known to us through Jesus your servant. To you be glory forever. And concerning the broken bread, we give thanks to you, our Father, for the life and knowledge which you have made known to us through Jesus your servant. To you be glory forever. Just as this broken bread was scattered upon the mountains and then was gathered together and became one, So may your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory and the power through Jesus Christ forever. You see, they had an understanding in the early church that what's taking place here was a time of thanksgiving. Not just an event, not just part of the church's regular service. This morning in Sunday school, we talked about the fact that in Acts chapter 2, it was common to break bread together. And that might have been in a home, it might have been whatever. And while that might have been a meal, I'm hard-pressed to believe that they also didn't have a time of Eucharist as they gathered together because they were thankful for who they were, for what Christ had done. It was ever-present in their lives. And this morning, as we prepare to share together in the Eucharist, in thanksgiving, my challenge is that we do so with glad and joyful hearts, considering what we are truly thankful for and how we might bless others in that thankfulness. So this morning, I'm going to ask those who are serving communion to come forward. And the rest of us, let's just take a moment as they're coming forward. I'm going to ask you to reflect and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you and ask the Lord, am I really thankful? Have I shown true thankfulness for what you've done in my life? And let the Holy Spirit lead. Just bow your heads and pray. Praise you, Lord. Okay, they're going to serve you now, so go ahead. We find the Lord's, or the retelling of the Last Supper, the Lord's Last Supper with his disciples in the three synoptic gospels and in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And this morning, this week, as I was thinking about it, I thought, I'm going to keep it simple this week. We usually go to Paul, but I just want to share these two verses from the Gospel of Luke. I think they just straightforward say it, and I think it's well worth it for us to consider why we are thankful. So as we look at these two verses, I ask you to reflect upon them with thanksgiving. Luke says, and he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And yes, we do it in remembrance of him. But I challenge you this morning to do it in thanksgiving of who he is. So let's partake together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this bread, what it means, Father, to be a child of yours and for the sacrifice that was made. Bless this, I pray, and bless each one who partakes. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke goes on to say, and likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this cup is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. And so we have this covenant that fulfills everything. Everything that was lost has been restored through Jesus Christ. And yet we know that there is a blessed hope of his return. We still live in expectation. So this morning, let us be thankful for what he has done, but also for what he has yet to do. Father, we thank you for this cup and a reminder to us of the shed blood that was paid and poured out for each and every one of us, the price that was paid. Bless this cup and all who partake, and may Jesus Christ be lifted up and be glory and honor to him in our lives. And Father, let us always be ever thankful for what it means to be a child of yours. Bless this cup in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Lord, as we prepare to leave here, I pray that you would go with us, that your Spirit would rest upon us, that your will be done in our lives, and may Jesus Christ truly be remembered each and every day for what he has done. Let us never forget the great price that was paid. And let us always be thankful, and let us extend that thankfulness, Father, to others. Without hesitation, let us just live to serve you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week and a happy Thanksgiving.